you don't get to walk around the streets without a mask on. You don't get to have your business anymore. It's like all the stuff that we watched with COVID over the past year. It's like putting that toothpaste back in the tube. How are we going to get that back? It's also a big deal is that these social media giants are now more powerful than the U.S. government. Than any government, yeah.
The Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast.
No one has common sense anymore.
How you doing?
Man, I know it's been really tough to figure out with this slow news cycle how in the world we're going to find anything to talk about.
What are we going
to
talk about today? Are we going to talk about puppies or like our careening car going over the cliff into communism? Straight up freaking communism. Are we going to talk about that today? Because I kind of feel like we should. Yeah, last week it was Bean Dad.
And we were like, oh, 2021's going to be great.
It's going to be great. It's amazing what a freaking week we'll do. Like, the whole country's falling apart in 1 week. Imagine what's going to happen next week. We're going to be waiting in line for bread next week.
Could you just stop jinxing things, please?
Listen, I'm telling you, we're going to be waiting in line for bread next week. Okay? I'm hoping that it won't
be that
terrible.
Listen, it's not out of the realm. We waited in line for freaking toilet paper, so we might as well add that to the
list. What do you got to bring me into this, Mark? What's wrong with the bread lines?
Oh, that's right. I forgot that Bernie likes the bread lines.
I love the bread lines. It's where all the pretty girls are with their horse shorts.
I swear.
I missed Bernie so much.
I know, right?
God, I missed him.
Crazy old freaking commie, man. He's like so excited about this day. He's like, oh my God, communism's fine. It's finally here. You crazy old commie.
He just didn't expect quite the resistance that there's been to it.
Right. So, you know, by places such as Germany and Russia.
So let's focus our conversation today on specifically what's happening on social media, because that, of course, is something we're very familiar with.
We are. I feel like we've been talking about this for years.
Well, and since 2013, to be precise, when we trailblazed a path about censorship on Facebook specifically, but really everywhere. Mm-hmm.
Right.
We got a taste of that back in 2013 when we had the audacity to link to a headline that we had written that said, Jay Carney can kiss my assular area.
You can't do that in 2013.
No, you can't do that.
No.
So that was a big, big deal. And it, because it was a big deal, it ended up being big news. And it made all kinds of news. Like, oh, my God, the chicks on the right, this conservative website, is getting censored by Facebook for saying Jay Carney could kiss their assular area. And now I look at us and I'm like, Trump just got kicked off of Twitter and everywhere.
Right.
And like, we that was nothing what happened to us. Now the leader of the free world is being censored.
Okay, so I have a question because I don't use Twitter. Okay, so this is a very important question.
Yes.
Is the POTUS account shut down? So it's POTUS.
It's no. Real Donald Trump is what's gone. Like gone. POTUS continues to exist. However, Trump is banned from using it, even though he is POTUS.
All right. Because that is very, I think the two, it's very important that we clear that up because, you know, that's kind of a big deal. And what's also a big deal is that these social media giants are now more powerful than the U.S. government. Than any government. Yeah. Right. It's a huge deal. So you got Jack Dorsey, the goat looking freak. Who is, you know, right. He's sitting on his moss, being a giant hippie, just going, yeah, I mean, today I'm going to get high and I'm going to go ban another world leader. Because not the Ayatollah, but I'm going to ban this world leader over there. Perhaps that's why Angela Merkel is uneasy about it, right?
It's problematic.
Oh, it's problematic. Okay.
And she's right.
she's very right. It's just I find it very strange. Everybody should find it a little bit weird that Germany is calling that out, right? That European countries are saying that's problematic. Anybody in Europe is saying that's problematic because Europe doesn't give two shits about free speech, right? we're the ones, we're like the last bastion for free speech. America is the beacon on the hill when it comes to free speech. And now it's gone.
Written right into, it's baked into our Constitution.
Yeah.
It's baked, baked right in there.
Baked right in there. Baked right in.
Do you know that on the radio show, I like did my finger clapping thing at Rob because I do it to you and you read my mind.
Right.
Like I make the finger slapping gesture at you.
Say, you're freaking crazy.
Well, he just looked at me because he couldn't read my mind and it was really irritating. So I like it when you're reading my mind.
I read your mind all the time. This is what I do. I go, baked in. Baked in. Yeah.
Baked right into that Constitution.
Right, it is baked right in there. And people, I think people on the right, and then there's got to be, listen, there has to be people on the left, there have to be people on the left that are low-key freaking out about this. There have to be, Mock.
I want to believe that that's true, that there are enough reasonable, rational thinking,
smart people?
Liberals who actually understand how dangerous this is.
Right.
I'm afraid, though, that there aren't.
Okay, so I think it's the vindictive and the dumb ones that aren't. It's the, those
which
are the,
is a vast majority.
99.9% of them.
Unfortunately.
Is that what it is? 99.9% of them? Because really, because that's all I can think of, the left that would be delighted about free speech being taken away, because eventually it will come back and it will bite you right in the butt. Because this is our right. This is our right. We have these rights. These are our rights as Americans. And I mean, these are very unique to us. As American citizens, right? Like, I mean, we talk about Europe and we joke about it, but I mean, they look at us and they're like, this is uniquely American for us to have these rights. When we start saying, no, you don't get to have free speech anymore, it's kind of like you don't get to walk around the streets without a mask on. You don't get to have your business anymore. It's like all the stuff that we watched with COVID over the past year. It's like putting that toothpaste back in the tube. How are we going to get that back?
Well, that is the concern. But I can tell you, and you've probably seen this too, the instant argument that you will get to the whole free speech complaint is that all those social media companies are private companies. They can do what they want. And that argument, while a legal one, like you can make that legal argument, it doesn't make it not dangerous. And so, you know, you can, what would happen? Like, just imagine what would happen if, like, Facebook and Twitter and all these other companies, Google, whoever else, if they actually held a news conference, right? And they said at the news conference, from this moment forward, we are going to ban every piece of content that is favorable to Republicans. And then we're going to promote every piece of content that is favorable to Democrats. I feel like if they put it in those plain terms, people would be like, wow, that's really bold. And that seems like a problematic thing to do.
Right, right.
And yet, I mean, the fact that that's exactly what they're doing without saying it out loud is still hugely problematic.
Right, right.
Because of their power.
Right. That's the thing. You hit the nail on the head, though. They're just not saying it out loud.
They're just not saying it out loud.
Right.
But that, I mean, it's clear now. It's clear that's exactly what they're doing. And it's like when they use that argument, it makes me crazy when people were like, well, they're private companies. Well, then why did we have that giant fight about the gay bakery or the, you know, the gay cake or whatever. You know what I'm trying to say.
No, I totally know what you're talking about. Then they should have been able to do whatever they wanted to do. And furthermore, every single business that's been closed down because of COVID should be freaking open right now.
Yeah.
If private businesses are allowed to do whatever the hell they want to do, then why is anything closed? Why were all these businesses ruined? Why have we had fights for the past year in the streets? Why were people protesting, you know, a couple months ago about their businesses being closed down? Why were gyms closed? Why are restaurants closed? Why is anything closed right now? Open everything up if you feel that way.
That's
because
exactly
really,
right.
Because I feel like right now that's a conservative liberal issue. Really, let's get real. That's I mean, for the most part, I mean, maybe not everybody feels that way, but it is drawn along political lines. I feel like most conservatives are like, you know what, open the shit back up. And then, and liberals are like, no, you're going to kill grandma. You're going to kill your grandma. Well, grandma doesn't go to my gym, you know? It's like, you know? She doesn't. So that's the thing is that I think a lot of people are like battling along political lines when it comes to this stuff. And if they feel very, very strongly about this whole, it's a private company, well then put your money where your mouth is. All this stuff should have been open. But you said this morning on our our Facebook show, our well, not our Facebook, but our regular show. I don't want to call it a Facebook show because Zuckerberg can suck it.
But remember, don't say stolen election. Say swollen erection.
I'll say
and then you'll be fine.
In the swollen erection. But hashtag swollen erection. But in our regular show, you were talking about, like, we kind of went back and forth on that. Like, I don't know. You made comments about, I know I can't exactly remember what you said, but you were kind of going back and forth with me about that. Do you remember?
About which part?
About, no, okay, never mind. I'm not going to, I won't even get into it. Never mind. Because I think we'll sidetrack away from, like, the conversation that we want to have.
Okay,
I think I'll sidetrack.
Right.
I want to stay on the point about free speech and all that kind of stuff. But anyways, I think that we're just heading in a very dangerous direction. What really bothers me is that 20-somethings, like, I know a lot of 20-somethings who think this is no big deal.
That's amazing.
It is amazing, but I think that they've been taught that, like, this is, it's like they hear the narrative that, oh, well, it's dangerous. And what happened at the Capitol was dangerous, which it was. You know, what happened at the Capitol was awful. I mean, it was terrible. There's no excuse for what happened at the Capitol, right? But then there's also no excuse for what happened this past summer.
Mm.
It's, you know, but the behavior that happened this past summer should have also been condemned, right?
And that continues to happen.
Right. But
I mean, there's continued riots.
Right. But it wasn't equally condemned. And so there is such a, there's such a dichotomy and a, we just see two different, there's two different
standards. It's a double standard.
Right. There's a double standard and just two different methods of justice, I think, now between right and left. It's like there's two different worlds that we live in. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, like there's no other way to put it other than like we literally live in different worlds.
Yeah.
Right and left. Like we get handed different forms of social media. Like we get, everybody gets different media in general. We get, I mean, the way that we're treated when it comes to justice, everything, it's bizarre. It's really bizarre. It never used to be that way. Like even 10 years ago, it wasn't that way. We started our site in 2009 and it's gotten dramatically worse than it was. And
the reach, you mean? Because the site is awesome.
Well, the reach and the way that conservatives are treated.
Right, right.
The way that we're treated, the way that we are, the divide has gotten worse, but the way that we're treated.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like I mentioned, I think in our show the other day, that conservatives on campus will write us, call us, whatever, and they'll say that they're afraid to say that they're conservative. Why do you think that is?
I mean, look around right now.
Right. But this was before all this happened.
I know. And it's 10 times worse now.
Yeah.
And before they were like, well, I'm afraid of what my employer will do. Well, now they have real, tangible reason to be.
Could you imagine? I mean, could you imagine being like a kid, a conservative kid on a college campus right now?
I cannot.
Right.
And the fact that so many of the, you know, the 99% of the people who attended the Capitol rally before it turned into a riot, 99% of those attendees were there to just demonstrate peacefully,
right,
like we always are. And
right,
yet now those 99% are being lumped in with a, you know, a couple hundred or a few hundred people who really misbehaved in disgusting ways. And so those people, the 99%, your friend included,
right,
now has to worry, is my attendance at that rally? I didn't have anything to do with the riots. I didn't even go near the Capitol, but I attended the rally. So is my attendance going to cost me my job?
Right.
Freaking insane.
Right. And then on top of that, people are already losing their jobs. People are losing their livelihoods. And then they're getting suppressed on social media so much that they're losing their ability to get revenue. We're those people.
Yeah.
I mean, we've experienced that since, 2017? We've experienced suppression of our ability to to get revenue on mm-hmm. Facebook and the likes. And then people will accuse us of that not happening. And I'm like, well, then you obviously have never owned a small business through a digital media format, like a, you know, a social media platform. You have mm-hmm. no idea what it's like. So you can suck it, you know, because you, don't know what that's like. And so there are a lot of people who have gone under because mm-hmm. of that suppression. And because what are you supposed to do about it? There's really nothing. You have no recourse because the Zuckerbergs of the world can just suppress you to the point of death.
Right.
It's like you just say, oh, I can't do this anymore. And then you're done. You know, you're done. We've seen a lot of people that have gone through that. So they've done it. It's just that they've done it in a way where it's like people are just silent. What are they going to do? There's mm-hmm. nothing they can do. So they've already killed off a lot of conservatives and a lot of conservative sites, a lot of conservative activist groups. They've done that already. And then, you know, like I notice it's also very insidious. Like we have a store on our website. This is very interesting. What's our store through? I can't remember. What's the name of the platform?
Is it Spreadshirt?
Spreadshirt.
Yeah.
This is a little way that they do it too. They hate anything that is gun related or 2A related. And so I'll design shirts. Like a couple years ago, we had 2A is bae on shirts. Super cute, right?
Yeah.
Love the little slogan. Thought it was cute. You know, and so, you know, our older writers that were out there and they modeled on, they look really cute, little millennials. And so, you know, we sold a couple of them. We did really well with those. And then one day they were just gone from the store. No explanation. All of our guns, and like there were other 2A, like just 2A or I support the Second Amendment, anything Second Amendment or 2A, mm-hmm. gone out of the store. Because these private companies are like, no, we can't have anything 2A in the store. Because, or any of the stores, because 2A is bad. Because they, why? It's in the freaking Constitution. It's the Second Amendment, you twits. But I mean, like, I don't know if you saw, like, there was a couple today, I saw there were a couple organizations, activist groups who are basically 2A based. And they're being taken off of Facebook. They're being taken off of a lot of these social media platforms simply because they support 2A. And so if we had developed our whole business model around 2A, we'd be screwed right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we'd already be gone simply because we support the Second Amendment. Like,
well,
that is-
and think about how, what, like now, if you say USA or go America or have a flag in your yard or sing the national anthem, those are actually things that are now insightful and hateful symbols.
Right, right.
I mean, what in the world is even happening?
USA is hateful?
What? Yeah. What? I mean, you can't love your country.
Right, yeah.
Are you crazy?
And then meanwhile, the Ayatollah still has a Twitter account.
Yeah. And
he's like, death
earlier.
To America.
Yeah. Right, and death to Israel. I mean, he's calling for death at left and right. And that's not insightful? What? I mean, I don't even know how you get more insightful than that.
He doesn't care about Jewish people.
He literally says death to people.
Right.
So you said something, you said a word earlier that stood out to me, and that was the word divisive and divided. And
right.
It reminded me of like how much of a crossroads we're at and
right.
how now more than ever, it's you have choices to make. The market needs to speak. Market forces need to speak. And so I know a lot of people recognize the name AARP, right? They know, oh, AARP, that's the Association for Retired People. And that's like, when I turn 50 plus, that's, I'll join it and I'll get all these discounts. And that's just who they know.
Right.
But there's a conservative alternative that people need to know about, and that's AMAC. And so AMAC literally does the same stuff, only they do it better, and they do it without being as annoying, because AARP is constantly sending you, like, fancy, shiny, glossy mailers that you get, mm-hmm. like, at campaign time.
Right.
And I don't need that. All I want is that I just want information. I want you to support causes I believe in, and I want great discounts.
Right.
And that's what AMAC does. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. I mean, you'll get a magazine every once in a while, but that's it. That's literally all you get. That and amazing
nice
freaking
too.
Benefits and discounts, which are like fantabulous, you guys. Yeah. We stand with AMAC because it gives you all the benefits, all the discounts, all the rewards you would get with a retirement, like a retirement package like that. But you also get the activism, which I love because you feel like you can like sit back and retire, which I haven't done yet, but you can sit back and do all the retirement things. And then you still have that activist-y kind of thing going on. So we stand with AMAC and we hope that you guys do too. We encourage you to join today at amac.us/chicks. That's amac.us/chicks. The benefits of membership are awesome, but the cause is even greater. So join today at amac.us/chicks.
I need to talk about Section 230 for a minute because I worry that in all this talk about social media, deplatforming people, you constantly hear, as we talked about earlier, you constantly hear people saying, oh, they're private companies, they can do what they want.
Right.
And then there's the big conversation. And I feel like conservatives tend to put too much weight on Section 230 changing somehow,
right,
and that'll fix the problem. But the whole argument behind Section 230 is that, let's just use Facebook in this example, but it applies to all of these companies. Facebook, is it a platform or is it a publisher? Because right now they get the protections of being a platform.
Yes, they do.
And that's not okay because right, they are acting as publishers. This is the big argument.
Oh my God. Without question, they're acting as publishers.
They're acting as publishers. So I worry that, you know, Ted Cruz and everybody is like, we need to reform Section 230, rewrite it so that this doesn't happen. But the problem is, what happens when, say that happens, say it's Facebook comes out and they say, yes, we are a publisher, and because they clearly are. I mean, they're moderating content. So, of course, they're publishers. So when they decide, okay, we're making Facebook a publisher, then won't they have even more incentive to shut down conservatives? See, to me, that's the fear. And I feel like people are like, oh, well, they just need to be treated as publishers, and then everything's going to be okay, and the censorship will stop. I think it's going to get 10 times worse. Because then what will they don't care. Like, they get to pick and choose their winners legally. They'll be like, oh, yeah, we're publishers. We get to moderate our content however we want. We know we don't have protection anymore, so we're just going to not be protected, and we're going to just ban anybody that we think is bad.
Yeah, but there may be a lot of retroactive litigation. You know, there may be a lot of retro, because this is the I don't know how that will work, but, you know, they may not be able to get everybody that quick. And so I see a lot of lawsuits. I see a whole, like, crap ton of lawsuits, Mach. A lot. Because, I mean, it's not like they can just, like, do a sweep of – that's just how I feel. I think they're going to get
hit. The lawsuits, though, have been in their favor so far that because of the they're a private company and they get to do what
they want. Well, they're a platform. Well, they're a platform right now, and they're a private company. That's why. But if they became a publisher, I think that they would get hit with a shit ton of lawsuits. And they may not win. Because they're, you know, and I think there would be a lot of people, if you think that they could just do a big sweep of all conservatives and know that, I don't think that they'd be on it.
I think they'll be able to do that even more as publishers. Because it's kind of like us deciding, you know, if you're going to misbehave on our website, we're going to not let you comment on it. That'll be the same. It'll be the same. So it'll be Facebook deciding, we don't like what you're saying, we're going to take you off of it. And I just, you know, I know when I've talked about this with Rob, for example, he's always like, don't worry, because if they become a publisher, then the protections that they've counted on will go away, and the market really will work against them, because people won't want an echo chamber. If they remove every conservative,
I totally agree.
It'll be
with
so
that.
Boring, right?
I absolutely agree with that. I do agree with that, because and I think that goes with every one of them. It's kind of like I was talking to my hairdresser last weekend, and she was like, "Listen, I am a conservative, but kinda." And she is mostly conservative. I mean, she said, like, she can be sort of libertarian on a lot of things. But she goes, but I love Twitter. She goes, because I like to see,
follow people?
Whatever.
Yeah.
She goes, I follow a lot of people that I just detest, you know?
Yeah.
She goes, because I want to know what the other side is thinking. I want to know. She's one of those people, you know? She goes, I want to see what everybody else is thinking, because it makes me feel like I have a more well-rounded, because I don't get my news from the news,
right?
You know? She goes, and Twitter is, it's kind of like you say, that's where all the news is on Twitter now. It's where the news is. Mm-hmm. That's where the news is, right? Is Twitter. I mean, it is not, that is a publisher. They are our news source now. Twitter is. And so it's like, she goes, I have to subscribe or follow all these other people just to get a good rounded idea, a nice level idea of how everything is going in the world. Otherwise, it is an echo chamber, you know? And so she does. So if they get rid of all conservatives, it's you're going to get a completely skewed version of the world, and it'll be very boring. And
but so, it'll be what they it'll be the version of the world that they want,
right?
And that, and but, I don't but, like
but
that.
I don't think everybody's going to like that. And you know what? Frankly, a lot of people go there to fight.
It's so true. Oh my
you
god.
Know? I mean,
so
they go there to spar, and they want to see different viewpoints. They go there every day. They're like, put them up. Put them up. You know, this is what – listen, I hate Twitter, but you know a lot of people do – they go there
they
looking to pick a fight. So what are they going to do if everybody there is like, kumbaya?
And what well, they'll start infighting, which is glorious because we see some of that already.
Right. But, I mean, this is the thing. They may think that they're setting themselves up for some giant utopia, but you know why? Because communism never ends well.
No, it doesn't. I think history has shown that to be the case.
And that's exactly, it's precisely what this is. These people can say that it's something else, or it's like, you know, they're doing this out of benevolence, or it's democratic socialism, whatever bullshit they want to like wrap it up in. But at the end of the day, all of this is communism. That's what it is. That's what it is.
I don't want any part of that.
I don't want any, none of it. I don't want to even look at it. I want no part. This is America. And that crap has no place in the United States of America. None of it. And there should be more voices, not fewer.
Yes.
More. More voices, more opinions. And you know what? If I don't like your opinion, I can turn the channel. I could turn it off. Mm-hmm. That's the joy of America. I can just be like, I don't like that guy. He's a jerk. And then
yeah,
I can move
it's like
on.
Those it's like those insane people that are trying to get that one store in Portland to stop carrying Andy Ngo's book. No one is forcing them to read Andy Ngo's book.
No.
But there are people that want to read it. So
right.
Just let it be.
Right. This is the thing. I mean, it's like these people are for book burning. These mm-hmm. people are – it's madness. It's like when – you remember when liberals were not the people that wanted book burning? Like
yeah.
All of a sudden conservatives are the ones who are like, you know, let your freak flags fly. We're the counterculture now. We're the ones who are actually for freedom and for free speech. And those people are communists. It's crazy.
It is nuts.
It's crazy.
But thankfully, there are some people in the world who are not nuts. And those people comment and put nice reviews on our iTunes Apple podcast platform. And I love them for it.
Let's hear.
One of them is from Claudia. Claudia is a huge fan. She was a huge fan of our show, Chicks on the Right Show, on the radio. She continues to listen to the Mock and Rob Show, and she actually was inspired by all of us to start a podcast of her own.
Look at that.
So Claudia writes, I just love you girls. You make me laugh, and I always make sure I listen to every episode. I watch the Daily Dishes on video and on here. It's always a good day when I get to look forward to listening to you ladies. You're the reason that B and I met and have our podcast, Tea with Claudia and B. You deserve more than 5 stars. How about 5 billion pink and sparkly stars? And then she has like a jillion emojis. And then the other one, I love this too. This one comes from FNFUF. That's the username. And it says, love it. I love how you tell it how it is. No filter. I just spit out my water when you said eat a bowl of dicks. LOL.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That is...
So those are the reviews. And now I would just encourage everybody who's listening to please do the same thing. Leave us some stars and a nice review on the Apple iTunes podcast platform. That would really help us out. And subscribe.
That would be great. Yes, do that. You can find us at chicksontheright.com, chicksontheright.com on our website. First and foremost, that's the place to go. Instagram at Chicks on Right, Twitter at Chicks on Right, and
so far, like as long as they'll have
right,
us.
As long as they'll have us there. Facebook, obviously, as long as they'll have us there. And then we're on all the new things like Parlor and all these other places.
Well, Parlor's no more, but as soon as they come back, we'll be there.
Right, but where everything is at Chicks on Right, so you can
yes.
find us on all the places at Chicks on Right. So find us on all the places because we're starting to diversify and spread out just in case. YouTube, all the places. So find us there, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye!
Bye, guys.
Hi, I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday on the Three Martini Lunch as we dissect the day's good, bad, and crazy news. Each day, you'll get our original and fun insights into everything from presidential politics to the war on punctuation to Jim's hammering the media's pathetic efforts to turn Andrew Cuomo into a hero.
And he's got everything. He's got the personality. He's got the brother. He's got the charm. He's got the jokes. Greg, he's got everything except the actual success.
Subscribe to the Three Martini Lunch at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.